Hello.
Hello.
Is there a class today?
Oh, I'm early. I'm sorry. At 12:30, I think. Oh, well, yep, 12:30 my time.
Okay, I went on 15 minutes early. That's what it is. I'm going to hang up and call back in 15 then. Right?
Okay.
It's in 15 minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
I was, no wonder, I'm so confused. I don't know, since the change of time, I'm just so confused. So it's 10:30, right? Okay, I'm going to hang up. That I'm glad you came on because I'm starting to wonder. So,
okay,
I'll call
thank
back
you.
In. All right, bye.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could be afternoon in some areas. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Let's wait a minute because I didn't just realize we were starting a minute early, and I like to let people start on time. Getting quite a bit of static, so I'm going to ask that you all mute your phones by pressing *6. Thank you. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoach. Ana Bekoach, Gedula Chemincha. Tatir Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagveinu Tacharenu No Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. Na Gibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat, Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalad, Yud Kaf Shin. The sequence Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that takes us, allows
Hello.
Us to take our body parts back to their stem cell state where they can be cleansed, they can be rejuvenated, where they can be healed. And then returning it to the body where it will again do its job as it was created to do perfectly. The letters of the month of Nisan. The Dalet that created the planet Mars, the planet Ma'adim, the planet of war and conflicts. And the Hay that created the constellation Taleh, the lamb, or some people call it the ram, male and female. Barhem tacharem, rachame sitata, tamid damlem.
Olive, Petresh, Sadi, Tav, Gimel.
Chasim Kadosh Berokuka Adata Since today is the second day of Nisan, we have opportunity to control the month of Iyar. The month of Iyar has two letters associated with it, the Pei that created the constellation Shor, and the Vav that created the planet Venus, the planet Noga. And the duality is expressed in those two letters. The Vav, the planet Noga, is also the name of the fourth, the lowest level of the negative system. Lowest level meaning the closest to the holiness. It's the fourth level. It's the Malchut level of the negative system. That's the Klipa Noga, Klipat Noga, and the planet Noga. So we really need to delve deeper into that word Noga to understand the duality of positive and negative. And the Vav that created the planet, the Pei that created the constellation, the constellation Shor, the bull, the Taurus, the gematria in Hebrew of the word bull that is being used, there are a couple of different words for bull, but Shor has a gematria of 506. And when we've done longer versions in our monthly versions of the Anabakoach, we know that 506 is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. And it connects us to loving your neighbor as yourself. And since Taurus is a quote unquote negative month, we again get this duality of positive and negative built into the second day of Nisan, where we can take control and enhance the positive for ourselves and for the world during the month of Iyar. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zofre kidushata yudgimolamed pozayam kuf shavatenu kabel ushmatia katenu yo And just to remind us, the last four letters of that six-letter sequence has the same gematria as the Shor, 506. Unconditional love, Ahavat Hinam. We're now going to say a verse that connects us to the energy of last year, the year that we changed ourselves partially. We changed ourselves sufficiently that we have a ceasefire in the south of Israel. But we don't want to fall back. We don't want to lose that ceasefire, and we want to move it forward to be an actual peace treaty. And we want to move it forward to be a peace treaty in the other directions. And this verse is Samuel Bet, chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom liami liyadai Then we have three verses that connect us to this year's energy. And that is the energy of being able to see through the illusion, recognizing that the angel of death is illusionary, that we can see through to the truth that no one has to die. And these verses, these three verses, will help us achieve that by helping us to change ourselves, to recognize. We first have to cleanse ourselves, but we ultimately, in order to remove the angel of death, we have to reach a consciousness where we will no longer see the death as an inevitable result of age. It's not true. And the typical response that people ask, how can you say that? Look around you, people die. And I say, no, people don't die. There's an illusion that people die. Well, how do you know everyone has always died? And then I say, no. There were seven human beings who did not die, who went to heaven with their body intact, documented in the Torah itself. Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kamalo tishemimoni lo tarpeini adiruki. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamakaloiyam. Asher yichabe gam v'shatim elai el nachom v'halachti yichem v'chayim yeshno v'arem v'chasti oto v'chol v'chidah. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kigelo lanetzach yovedo roav yom. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. Now we are reading a verse from the Zohar, from the Parashat of Tzav. We're reading the Pasuk 98, and we're starting the Pasuk with the L'Shem Yehud, which is a prayer slash paragraph slash statement that helps align our consciousness to unification. Unification of the four letters of the name of God, unification of the male and female of Zeron, Pin, and Malchut, unification of all aspects of consciousness. L'shem Yehud Kudsha Berichu Rishkin Amar Rabbi Shimon Ketiv Ze Karban Acharon Uvanav Asher Yachrivu La Shem Tachatzi Chayave Al Magarmin Leya Lekudsha Barichu Listalka Mekuaf Yud Hahidiktiv Ish Ha Tahafukot Yeshalach Madon Benirgan Mafrid Lealuf Manhu Aluf Da Kuchabarichu Kada Aluf Neure Ata Veinun Mafrishin Lizot Mize Deihu Shilama Deveta Veinun Zivugachada. This is section 13 of the Zohar Sulam, Parashat Tzav, and as I said, Pasuk 98. Rabbi Shimon said, it is written, this is the sacrifice of Aaron and his sons, which they shall offer to Hashem. Come and see. The wicked in the world cause the Holy One, blessed be He, to depart from the congregation of Israel. Hence it is written, a perverse man sows strife, and a mischief maker separates close friends. Who is the close friend? It is the Holy One, blessed be He, as it is written, you are the close friend of my youth. They separate, zot. This, the Hebrew word is this in the feminine form, malchut, from zeh, this in the Hebrew word, in the masculine form, zeran pin, which is household peace, namely yesod, they who are united together. My commentary? I'm adding. Zeran pin has two aspects, the crown and the stem. The crown is always connected to malchut, while the stem can be separated based on negative actions of people. The implication is that the priest is capable of fixing this lack of shalom bayit, peace in the house. Does anyone have any questions? Earlier, I had asked you to press star 6, and some of you did, and then there have been some late arrivals. The reason for doing that was to remove some static, and I'm still getting it, so that I again ask anybody who has not yet muted their phone, please do so. If this does not work, then I will mute everybody, but makes it more difficult for people to ask questions if they want. Today's class is our sixth class in preparing for the holidays of Purim, which is past, Pesach, which is coming, the Omer, and Shavuot. And this coming Shabbat is Shabbat HaGadol, the large Shabbat. There's no special reading on this Shabbat. Less is more, something to constantly learn about. You can find where I'm going to be reading from a handout from the unique astrological events link that is below the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. When you click on Unique Astrological Events, scroll down until you get to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the first link after that, I believe, is Shabbat HaGadol. That's where I will be reading. The name of this week's parasha is Tzav, and also has a special name called Shabbat HaGadol, the big, the mature, the large Shabbat. The explanations as to why this Shabbat before Pesach is called Shabbat HaGadol have never satisfied me. The explanations have to do with physical explanations dealing with the first Shabbat before the actual Exodus, leaving Egypt with Moshe and the children of Israel. We know that nothing in our tradition is due to physical things. There is always a spiritual explanation. The gematria of the word Haggadol is 42. Every student of Kabbalah should relate to this because it relates to the 42-letter name of God, the Anabakoach. It is taught that Hashem used this name to create our physical world. This Shabbat before Pesach is the purpose of creation. As Rashi said, the Torah should not start with Bereshit, in a beginning, but with the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. The same should be said about the Shabbat before the first Pesach. This Shabbat has the energy of the Exodus, which is the energy of creation, and also the purpose of creation. It is fitting that the reading, always on Shabbat Haggadol, is Tzav. This reading has 96 verses, which is the gematria of the name of the parasha. This only happens in this one parasha a year, the parasha of Tzav and the Shabbat Haggadol. Tzav means to command. The Zohar teaches us that whenever we do an action because we are commanded to do so, we are doing idol worship. This is a very strange and difficult concept for people to relate to. How can it be that God is commanding us and we're doing it and it's idol worship? Even if that command is from Hashem himself, the reason we do these mitzvot, which are commanded by Hashem, must be from our own free choice, and not because we are commanded. Many religious people speak of doing Hashem's will. We must grow our consciousness to understand that Hashem created us to reveal His light. Therefore, His will is our desire. Please reread this sentence. Our desire is what Hashem wants. Our desire is the will of Hashem. Of course, this must be understood that when our desire is selfish, it must first be cleansed by changing it to a desire to receive in order to share. This is the essential teaching of Kabbalah, the essential lesson that we must learn as we cleanse our homes and ourselves of chametz, the puffed-up ego that leaves no room for Hashem. In this parasha of Tzav, there are 14 spaces. Sorry for the delay. There are 14 spaces in this parasha. This teaches us that this is the malchut, or manifestation of the year. Our hands have 14 bones, 3 in each of our 4 fingers and 2 in our thumbs. This is a total of 14, which is both the gematria of the word yud-dalet, and the meaning of the word Yad, which is spelled Yud-Dalet. Yad means hand. We manifest things with our hands. In this parasha, we learn the lessons of manifesting our ultimate desire, which is getting closer to Hashem. Of course, we choose to get closer to Hashem in order to give pleasure to Hashem, not to receive pleasure from Hashem. This is a very high level of consciousness and will be totally achieved with the help of the Mashiach. So have you cleansed yourself of chametz for Pesach? Or have you cleansed your house for Pesach? Do you understand the difference? This is the lesson of the parasha of Tzav, command. This parasha of Tzav has an unusual connection within it. The center of the Torah in verses is within this parasha. It is between verses 7 and 8 of chapter 8. Don't ask me which word it is. It's literally between these two verses. It is recommended that the reader stop at this point to allow the congregation to meditate on what does it mean to be at the middle point of something, especially the Torah. The ultimate lesson of Torah is balance. Rashi tells us that. All of the sages tell us that. Middle, center, balance is the path for each of us relative to our own correction, our own tikkun. When we realize that our desire is Hashem's desire, that our will is Hashem's will, that the purpose of life is to be in balance and achieve balance with our actions, that by removing our chametz, our ego, by eating matzah, we achieve freedom from our desire to receive for oneself alone. This is the only battle we will ever have to win. This is the only battle we will ever have to fight. This war will wage forever in our lives until the coming of Mashiach. Until then, we will always have to fight this battle with our desire to receive for oneself alone and attempt and actually transform it into the desire to receive in order to share. The first step in planning and winning this battle is to learn the difference between sharing and receiving. I give what I want to give without consciousness of the receiver. I share what is best for the receiver of what I share because I have removed my personal investment, my ego, in giving what I want, and I share what is best for my friend. Contemplate this well. Pesach Sameach. Have a happy Pesach. Going back to the page Unique Astrological Events and scrolling up a little bit from where you pressed this link about Shabbat HaGadol, go back up to where the link right after Purim, where it teaches us about the 90-day period from Purim to Shavuot. When you open that page up, you need to also connect to the open up the page for class number 6. And that's where we will start today. You will notice, or you can notice if you do keep looking, class number 6, number 7, class number 8 are preparations for the Seder, which is less than 2 weeks away. And I'm not sure that I will be able to give a class this next Sunday. So if I'm not going to be at that, we will adjust the classroom subjects during the week. So these 3 classes will all be given prior to the Seder. Let us look at the basic question within Torah. Why were the children of Israel redeemed from Egypt? Why did God take the children of Israel out of Egypt? What's the difference? And the angels even, the Midrash tells us, the angels even said to God, what's the difference? They said, these children over here in Mitzrayim, they commit idol worship. And these children over here in Goshen, they commit idol worship. What's the difference? There are many answers, but let's look at what's written here. Many mitzvot, among them Shabbos, Pesach, and Tefillin, are intertwined with the Exodus from Egypt. We see that Pesach is intertwined with the Exodus. Why? The answers, without a lot of commentary, are as follows. The Torah stresses the Exodus because through its great miracles, fundamental matters of Jewish faith become clear for all time. As it is written, Israel saw the great hand that Hashem inflicted upon Egypt, and they had faith in Hashem and in Moshe, his servant. Every religion started with a man. In the case of the children of Israel, it started with Abraham. But never, ever in any other religion were there 3 million people seeing a similar sight, the same sight, so that they could attest and verify that there is a God and that he gave the Torah to us, his children. At the same time it was given to the Jewish people, it was given to every other person, every other nation. The Exodus also demonstrated the concept of Hashgagah, Hashem's awareness of and involvement in all that transpires on this earth. As the Torah states, so that you will know that I am Hashem in the midst of the land. For these lessons alone, the Exodus would have been worthwhile. However, the Torah makes clear that the Exodus served yet another crucial purpose, one which surpassed even those which we have mentioned. The primary goal of the Exodus was that it should serve as a prelude to the giving of the Torah at Sinai. When you take the people out of Egypt, you will serve God on this mountain. Could the Torah have been given in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, in that narrow place? The answer is yes. But God doesn't want to be limited either by narrow places or narrow consciousness. He wants us to grow our consciousness by choice. Pesach is time dependent. Women are not bound by time dependent mitzvot due to child rearing. Yet, the Seder needs to be attended by women, not only cooking food and preparing the cleaning. And that burden that is put on woman, which is inappropriate, of course, because it's not shared, although it's becoming so in many homes. Pesach is time-dependent, but it's outside of time. And that's what we learn from the halakha that says women are to be included in the Seder. The Talmud teaches, through what deeds do women merit eternal life? Through bringing their children to the synagogue to learn scripture. Through sending their husbands to the study halls to learn. And for waiting for their husbands until they come home from the study hall. The obvious question is, why not credit women with the many mitzvot which they do that are unrelated to Torah study? As the Chofetz Chaim makes clear in the following segment, there is a degree of spiritual reward that can be attained only through the merit of Torah study. Additionally, notes Rabbi Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, our sages teach that to merit Techiat HaMetim, the revival of the dead, the resurrection of the dead, Torah study is a must. As the Talmud states, the merit to come alive again will come from the dew of Torah. Only Torah study has this life-giving quality. Pesach and the Haggadah are Torah study. This is why women are bound to the mitzvah of the Seder. There is much to learn from this. Yet what we have time for is to realize that the word women does not refer to women. It refers to anyone who is limited to a small desire to receive. We learn this from the explanation regarding the morning blessing. Do not make me a woman, and make me according to your will. We don't have time to go into this at this time, but one day I'll give a class on this aspect from the Kabbalah. A short course on what to do to prepare for Pesach. I'm going to skip this section because we've gone through two complete sections, two classes on how to clean home, which is really cleaning yourself, removing your ego, limiting your ego, narrowing your ego. More on Pesach, Matzah, and Chametz is the next section that I will start to read. It's about 2 inches down from the top of this, right, of this handout. Before we go into the Seder itself, let us take a look at the meaning concealed in the word Pesach, Matzah, and Chametz. Pesach is spelled Pei Samach Chet. As a shorish or root, these three letters mean to pass over or to skip over. That's why the word is usually translated as Passover. But that's not its meaning. It is taught that Hashem passed over the Israelite homes during the 10th plague in Egypt, the killing of the firstborn. But let us permutate this word. Chet Pei means pure or innocent. Chet Samach, speaking or telling, to talk to or to converse. The word Sach. Pei Samach means to strip or stripe or end or cease. Pei, the threshold, the bowl, the sill, the sword, the rapier. Chet Samach, a pity, to spare. Pei Chet, blow or breathe. From the above, we see that one meaning of Pesach is a mouth that speaks. This is the idea behind the Haggadah, which is the telling of the story of the Exodus. Of course, there is much more to the telling of the story than its simple surface meaning, as we will discover when we get to the section of the Magid in the 15 steps of the Seder. Pesach actually connects to Rosh Hashanah. As we know from our email of the 25th of Adar, Pesach in Nisan represents creation and potential, and Rosh Hashanah represents creation of Adam. To 713. 713 is the value of the word Teshuvah. What is Teshuvah? The return to Hashem. When we do Teshuvah, we are returning Rosh Hashanah back to Pesach. We are going back to the future, as discussed in our class on Teshuvah. Now let's look at the word matzah. We all think we know about matzah. Yet did you know that the word is misspelled matzot? Mem tzadi vav taf in the Tanakh? This is the exact spelling of the word mitzvot as well. They are just using different vowels. So when we eat matzot, we are eating mitzvot as well. Of course, we are doing one mitzvah by eating matzah, or matzot. But actually, we can see this as eating all of the mitzvot. This is one reason that Pesach is such an important holiday. The Torah calls Pesach Chag HaMatzot, the holiday of matzot. The word HaMatzot has the letters He, Mem, Tzadi, Vav, and Tav. These letters add up to 541, which is the value of the word Yisrael. This is but one reason that we seem to feel something so special about this simple food. It reflects the essence of Israel. As we were taught earlier in our preparation, matzah could only be cooked for a maximum of 18 minutes. 18, as we know, relates to life. So eating matzah is a path to life. This we know is true, since this month of Nisan is all about wars and battles. When we win the war against our desire for oneself alone, we gain life. I'm getting a little bit of static, so again I'd like to announce and ask everyone to mute their phones by pressing *6. If you've already done that, please do not do it again. 18 minutes consists of 1,080 seconds, but they're not called seconds. They mean a little bit different essence and thought. The B'nai Yisachar teaches that 1,080 is a special number, since it is 5 times 216. 216 is the gematria of Gevurah, judgment. It is also the number of letters in the 72 names of God. The five times represents the five worlds. 1,080 is also 72 times 15. 15 represents the upper world metaphor of Yud-Heh. 72, the gematria of the spelling out of the tetragrammaton in the frame of Chesed. Chesed is the overall aspect of Pesach. We see this when we realize that Nisan represents a period of war and blood, which is judgment, and then we are given this free light of Pesach, which comes without any bread of shame. The holiday of Pesach is a period of time, Chesed, taken outside of the frame of judgment. Chesed is the overall aspect of Pesach. It is a free gift, as we see, this idea of 1,080 seconds. Time is chesed in allowing us to learn 30 days times 24 hours, or 720, 10 times 72, 10 times chesed, hours before Pesach. This is chesed to feed us the omer, the barley for after Pesach, since the B'nai Yisachar points out the word omer spelled out, Ayin Yud Nun, Mem, Mem, and Resh, Yud Nun. These letters add up to 720, or 10 times Chesed. Pesach is the beginning of a year-long cycle, perhaps coming from the Hebrew word sechel, knowledge, perhaps also leading to the word school and skill, and related to the word shekel, meaning weight, that extends through the counting of the Omer for 49 days, beginning on the second Seder, to Shavuot, the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, and then a few months later to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and Sukkot and Shmini Atzeret, followed by Hanukkah and Purim. The Seder of the year's upcoming spiritual destination should also be acknowledged and discussed at the Pesach Seder. There is more, of course, connecting these spiritual destinations through matzah. According to one of the sages, the Malbim, who lived in the early 1800s, who wrote a famous commentary on the Torah. There are 190 days from Erev Pesach to Shmini Atzeret. The number 190 represents the value of the word ketz, which means end. Our sages say that the 400-year exile shown to Avraham was cut short by 190 years. What is so special about this concept of ketz, cutting the decree in relation to the Seder? The B'nai Yisachar points out the following. The word matzah spelled out, mem, mem, tzadi, which is tzadi dalid yud, and hey, hey yud, equals 190. Ketz is the code word for death. End is death. End of a business is death. Not a end of a life, end of a world. We need to understand these frames of reference. Matzah, as we will see when we review the Seder, is an antidote for death. It allows us to remove the angel of death if we would only think so, if we would only learn and know so. Matzah, then, to its inner core, has still another dimension, a cutting off of all past negatives. As we eat matzah during the Seder, we should chew slowly and have this in mind. It literally cuts us off from our past, from our mistakes. The matzah even overwhelms the four questions in importance. How? The four questions, the famous four questions, appear in the beginning of the fifth of the 15 sections of the Seder. The fifth section is called Magid, which means the telling, hence the word Haggadah, of the story of the liberation. These four questions contain in total 49 words, which is an allusion to the 49 days of counting the Omer, from Pesach to Shavuot. Questioning is a key aspect of the Seder. Questions are the key aspects of wisdom. In fact, the word chachmah can be broken into two words, koachmah, the power of a what, of a ma, of a what, of a question. Further, the value of the word chachmah is set. We add one at a time, 1 plus 2 plus 3 up to 73. It equals, according to Rav Cutler from Muncie, the value of the first sentence in the Torah with its 28 letters. Hakam from and evidenced by the very first sentence of the Torah. One might think, then, that the Haggadah would begin the Magid section with the four questions, since questioning is related to creating a new state of knowledge. These four questions, however, are not the first part of the Magid. The author of the Seder, we are not sure who it was, thought differently. The first part belongs to the paragraph called Halachma, which means the bread of affliction. This first section in the Magid section has, just like the first sentence in the Torah, 28 letters, 28 words. The matzah then again takes top precedence of the evening, even before the four questions, before the four sons, and before the four cups of wine. By the way, we will discuss the number four in the Seder below, yet it also alludes to the first sentence in the Torah through the 28 letters and the 28 words here. We are told by our sages that Eliyahu Hanavi comes to each house, and we have a special cup of wine for him and open the door for him. The word ha is made up of the first letters in Eliyahu Hanavi, Aleph and He, giving us pause that perhaps he is the author of the Haggadah. Since Eliyahu will announce Mashiach from the house of David, the author of Tehillim, it stands to reason that the first and last letters in Sefer Tehillim are also Aleph and He, forming the word Ha. As we eat the matzah, we also might want to consider that matzah, Gematria 135, plus Israel, 541, add up together to 676, which is the value of 26 squared. 26 times 26. Hashem times Hashem. King David writes in his Psalms that many evils befall a righteous person. The word evils, royos, has a value of 676. Matzah and Israel together offset the royot, the evils. This is the true purpose of the Seder, putting positivity into our life and removing the evils, the negative, and the chaos from our lives. And by teaching us this ritual, Hashem is showing his mercy. From this, our sages put the name of Hashem 26 times into the Shemona Esrei, the Amidah, the standing prayer. What can we learn from this? We can carry the power of the Seder and the of our nation and our bread all year in our prayers to offset the evils that exist. The ability to minimize the arrogance and the negativity and the falseness of Chametz the rest of the year can, if we utilize the Seder and our davening properly, be fought with a new awareness of the weapons at our disposal that we gain during this night. Chametz. Chametz spelled backwards is the word Samach, which translates as sprouting and growing. Therefore, Chametz, even as it has the concept of yeast, which is sprouting and growing and expanding, actually means the opposite of growth. Again, we see the power in studying the Hebrew letters and the Hebrew words. Here's another teaching about Chametz from Rabbi David Seidenberg. And I'm going to skip that section, but I suggest you read it. It's quite significant. But I'm not reading it because we have so much to cover.
Now, if I have a question. You
go
said
ahead,
matzah was equal to 135. And what was the number for Israel? For what?
541.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
No problem. The lesson of the Chametz and Matzah is pretty much the balance of this page, and I will read this teaching. Matzah is symbolic of simplicity and how that is a prerequisite to true liberation. Matzah is absent of fluff, of additives, of chametz. It is simply a blend of earth and water baked in fire just long enough to coalesce, not a moment more, and then quickly removed from the fire out into air. It's about basic earth, fire, and water unified by air. The Hebrew word for air is avir, aleph vav yud resh, and also implies emptiness, as in the blank primordial space of Genesis, of creation, renewing, Any delay in this process invites enrichment, fermentation, elemental simplicity, morphing into sophisticated complexity. And then it becomes chametz. Matzah is called lechemoni, bread of poverty, wrote the 16th century Rabbi Yehuda Low of Prague, because the liberation, he was the Maharal of Prague, because liberation requires us to become as the poor, in the sense of not being shackled in bondage to things, to stuff, to property, and thus more free to resituate at will and begin anew, that if there was attachment to such things and assets. In his commentary on the Haggadah, Shel Pesach, on the song paragraph, Halach Mahanya, ironically, in the Torah's account of the Jewish people's liberation from bondage in Egypt, they are instructed to eat only matzah, to adopt a consciousness of less, of simplicity and elementals. Yet at the same time, they are also immersed in enrichment. They are given tons of gold and silver, copper and jewelry, implements and utensils, in addition to flocks of sheep, herds of cattle, and anything else they needed for their journey home. So with this matzah business, when the Exodus was certainly not a time of simplicity consciousness, and what is meant by the reason for matzah being that they didn't have time to allow the dough to rise, because they were being hurried out of the land. The fact is that they had plenty of time to bake normal loaves of bread before they left. They were readied for the Exodus days before, and then instructed to have a ritual sit-down feast the night before they were to actually leave. And didn't they actually leave until the morning following the sit-down meal? Then listen to this. Then, when 40 days later they arrived at Mount Sinai for the great revelation, we are told to commemorate this most special, most holy, most momentous event of the entire Exodus, with an offering that had to include not matzah, but chametz. Chametz was the requirement for the ritual celebration of Shavuot, of the revelatory experience at Sinai. One would suppose that the offerings for this lofty event ought to be matzah, the spiritual bread of simplicity, absent all the superfluity and enrichment of chametz. Yet it's the other way around. Bread of abstinence for the occasion of enrichment, and bread of enrichment for the occasion of abstinence. Bread of scarcity in the time our ancestors were weighed down with gold and silver in their exodus from Egypt, and bread of plenty for the time our ancestors were instructed to become abstinent in preparation for receiving the revelation of Sinai. Matzah for when we gorged ourselves on the flesh of lamb, and chametz for when Moses fasted 40 days and 40 nights. This is not a question. This is the very lesson inherent in the ritual of chametz and matzah. It is about a life lived in balance betwixt both. This is Judaism 101, a way of living that is neither about simplicity nor superfluidity, but both. That is neither spirituality nor physicality, but both. That is neither about abstinence, but both. And that any attempt to live one way to the dismissal of the other is doomed to failure, subject to distortion and bound to go the way of most relics and end up in the museum. The lessons of the ritual of chametz and matzah, in each of their respective place in our lives, is played out daily in front of our eyes in the drama of fundamentalism across the religious denomination board. Religious extremism emerges out of an obsession with matzah consciousness to the dismissal of chametz consciousness. No less than hedonistic extremism emerges out of an obsession with chametz consciousness to the dismissal of matzah consciousness. Our ancestors were being, which is us, in our previous incarnations, we're being taught that during those times when we are being enriched, we need to remember where the gift of that enrichment is coming from. Lest we declare, my own power and the might of my own hand has made possible all of this accomplishment. And so they were told to eat the bread of simplicity, not because they didn't have time to bake normal bread, but because they could not delay, they were instructed not to focus too long on the physical form of their enrichment to the point of losing awareness of its spiritual origin. And by the same token, they were instructed during the time of the great divine revelation at Sinai to not lose themselves in the ecstasy of spirit to the neglect of the gift of embodiment by celebrating ritually with chametz. So on Passover, the Israelites were told, do not delay, to not allow the dough to rise any longer than, say, 18 minutes, which explains what happened during the incident of the golden calf, when those of the fundamental extreme sort were still stuck on matzah consciousness, when the time now called for chametz consciousness. And being stuck on matzah consciousness, they reached within extremism when Moses delayed in returning when he was supposed to. He did not come down from the mountain within those pivotal 15 to 18 minutes, which to the fundamental extremists still stuck in matzah consciousness made Moses chametz. And so they willingly yanked off their forms of enrichment, their chametz, their earrings, their nose rings, and the such, and cast them into the fire, into the matzah oven. And it turned into exactly what it was that they were worshiping by being stuck in one way of seeing things, an idol, a golden calf, an edifice of gold of chametz, which Moses then melted down for them to drink, in order to imbue them with their own chametz, their own inner demons that had compelled them to react as they did to the delay, to Moses' delay, to Moses returning from the realm of spirit with two stone tablets comprised of both matzah and chametz, a spirit and the embodiment of spirit. The lesson of chametz and matzah is an important one, to do our best to walk neither to the extreme left nor to the extreme right, to bide our time somewhere in between, knowing when to tune into our matzah consciousness. In times when we are blessed with the enrichment of physical indulgence, and when to tune into our chametz consciousness, such as in times when we are blessed with the inspiration of spiritual elation. Like the second century Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria taught, if there is no flower, there is no Torah. And if there is no Torah, there is no flower. My commentary. This teaching is for Pesach and Shavuot. There is a similar Hasidic teaching for all year. One is to have in his pocket two pieces of paper. In his right pocket he is to have written, you are the son, the daughter of a king. In his left pocket he is to have written, you come from a putrid drop of sperm. When you are feeling on top of the world, when your ego is growing, take the paper out of your left pocket and read about your beginning from sperm. When you are feeling down, take the paper out of your right pocket and remember you are the son, the daughter of a king. It is always about the center column, the balance point. It is always about living in balance and staying away from the extremes. Remember this lesson when the astrological forces of Nisan are pushing you into wars and battles and conflicts. Where is your balance point? Look for your balance point. Find your balance point. We will soon start the Seder by looking at the relationship of the Seder plate to the Magen David, the Shield of David, which is often translated as the Star of David. In case we have time that day, I want to mention the difference between the Magen Solomon and the Magen David. Sometimes these two items are used interchangeably, but actually they are two different things. The Shield of Solomon is two squares that are offset versus each other, and thus they have 8 points. The Shield of David has 6 points since they are two offset triangles. One day I hope to give a class explaining how the Magen David is also a representative of the Tree of Life, and that is why Rabbi Ashlag cautions us to not utilize the various glyphs as the two-dimensional picture stops us from realizing the full extent of the true picture, which can only be seen with our imagination. That's the end of the class. We've run out of time. I will ask for questions if you have any questions. Tomorrow night, Monday at 7 p.m., will be a class on the Hebrew letter Resh. Tuesday will be a class at 7 p.m. on Advanced Reincarnation, or perhaps it will be the continuation of class number preparing for Passover. We'll have to take a look at where we are and the timing of things. Wednesdays is a class on questions and answers. This coming Thursday at 7 p.m. is a class on the Zohar. This coming Saturday is a class on the Zohar. This coming Sunday at 10:30, a week from today, in the morning, will be the continuation of the teaching. Or if I don't have a class, you'll have an announcement when you call in. I have some personal business that has to be done in preparation for the Seder, and I'm trying to arrange to do it another day than Sunday. Does anybody have any questions? Kodesh Tov to all of you. Remember the connection for the month of Iyar, for the bull, for the shore. The tetragrammaton is Yud He He Vav. Yo He He Wa. Meditate on the Pe and the Vav, the letters of the month of Iyar. Gematria of the two letters is 86. 86 is the gematria of the word Elohim, the name of God dealing with judgment. Kodesh Tov, have a beautiful week. Keep your cleaning going. Prepare your hametz by removing it. Shalom to all.
Kodesh Tov. Shalom. Bye.
Kodesh Tov. Thank you.